Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Manus, the Administrators of the Universe, Text Number 4. No purport, so I'll just read the translations. Sukadeva Goswami said, in the present Kalpa, there have already been 6 Manus. I have described to you Swayambhuva Manu and the appearance of many demigods. In this Kalpa of Brahma, Swayambhuva is the first Manu. Text 5, I'm just going to read the translations until we get to text 7. Swayambhuva Manu had 2 daughters named Akuti and Devahuti. From their wombs, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as 2 sons named Yagyamurti and Kalpila, respectively. These sons were entrusted with preaching about religion and knowledge. Purport. Devahuti's son was known as Kapila, and Akuti's son was known as Yagyamurti. Both of them taught about religion and philosophical knowledge. Text 6. O best of the Kurus, I have already described in the 3rd canto the activities of Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Now I should describe the activities of Yagyapati, the son of Akuti. Text 7. Virakta kama bogeshu satarupa pati prabhu visrija rajam tapase sabaryo vanam avishad. Virakta, without attachment. Kama bogeshu, in sense gratification. In grihastha life. Shatarupa pati, the husband of Shatarupa, namely Swayambhuva Manu. Prabhu, who is the master of the, or king of the world. Visrija, after renouncing totally. Rajam, his kingdom. Tapase, for practicing austerities. Sabarya, with his wife. Vanam, the forest. Abhishat, entered. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Swayambhuva Manu, the husband of Shatarupa, was by nature not at all attached to enjoyment of the senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo vidu. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciple succession, and the saintly kings understood in that way. All the manus were perfect kings. They were rajarshis. In other words, although they held posts as kings of the world, they were as good as great saints. Swayambhuva Manu, for example, was the emperor of the world, that he had no desire for sense gratification. That is the meaning of Marnaki. The king of the country, the emperor of the empire, must be so trained that by nature he renounces sense gratification. It is not that because one becomes king, he should unnecessarily spend money for sense gratification. As soon as kings become degraded, spending money for sense gratification, they were lost. Similarly, at the present moment, monarchy having been lost, the people have created democracy, which is also failing. Now by the laws of nature, the time is coming when the dictatorship will put the citizens into more and more difficulty. If the king or dictator individually or the members of the government collectively cannot maintain the state or kingdom according to the rules of Manu Samhita, certainly their government will not endure. Evam parapraptam imam rajarshiyo vidu sakalene ha mahata yogo nashta Parantapa, the supreme science, was thus received in the chain of disciple succession, and the saintly kings understood in that way, but in the course of time the succession was lost, and therefore the sciences appears to be lost. That Bhagavad Gita, for instance, is 700 verses, and it's the essence of all the Vedic literature. So Veda means knowledge. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we should be able to find all necessary knowledge for both material and spiritual advancement, but summarized. And anything which is not in the Bhagavad Gita, we can say is avidya, or ignorance. Now, in order to understand Bhagavad Gita more clearly, we have Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not the other way around. In order to understand understand Bhagavad Gita, we need Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a help for us to understand what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because after all, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself directly. Similarly, Chaitanya Charitamrita is an expansion of the knowledge given in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a summary. That there's any difference between what says in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. But we see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita first, and we also see through the eyes of Srimad Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they must be all in line with each other. Generally, it's easier to see through 700 verses than it is to see through 18,000, or how many there are in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the second verse, Gyanam Teham Saviganam, Idam vaksham yasheshataha, ijgatvaneha punyonyaj gitavyam avashishate. Now I'm going to declare to you all knowledge, phenomenal and nominal, knowing which there'll be nothing further to be known. So it's not that Bhagavad Gita is concluded in the 18th chapter where Krishna says, give up everything and surrender to me. And therefore, all the other verses in Bhagavad Gita have no meaning or relevance. A surrender to Krishna means we have to be able to see Krishna also, not only in his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in all his different manifestations. If we think that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll worship him, but we won't bother with his other creations or his expansions, then that's the mentality of accepting half a hen. We like the hen that gives the egg, part of the hen that gives the egg, but the part that eats we don't like so much, so we cut off the part that eats, and then we can take advantage of only the part that gives the egg. That won't work. If we want to see Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, but we can't see him right in front of our eyes, how he's working and how he's existing, then we'll just be wasting our time trying to see him in Goloka Vrindavan. If we can't see him 1 inch away, how are we going to see him in some other spiritual universe? Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna summarizes, for instance, that Bhumir Apalo Vayu Kamanubhuta Evacha Ahankara Iti Ame Bina Prakriti Ashtada, that there are different elements of this material energy, namely elements that keep things solid or appear to be together, that create forms and smell as a sense organ, earth, or that keeps things together, specifically water, and the sense organ is taste, etc., etc. So Krishna is not some primitive cowherd boy, couldn't figure out science, never studied biology or chemistry or physics, and therefore he's putting forward some primitive idea of how the universe is working. Of course, he was speaking to Arjuna, who had a background in Vedic culture, which means automatically Vedic science. And when it's interpreted Bhumir as earth, we think that this is quite primitive. We see a clod of earth that we dug up in our backyard, and we think that Krishna is referring to that. Although one in the Vedic culture would think that earth is something very much different, that anything that's solid, and then there's a whole science of what's solid, that earth doesn't exist independently of all the other elements, that is said according to Ayurveda and all the other Vedas. Whatever we see as earth also has some fire, which is generally divided up as a general principle between the other elements. In other words, we see something as earth like this, and then we have to understand there's also some fire in it. Otherwise, it would be frozen. We put our hand there, it would be frozen. There wouldn't be any temperature, and our hand would freeze. So even in this wood, there is fire. And when you throw the wood into the fire, then the fire comes out. And there's also water. Otherwise, it wouldn't be held together. You can have dough. You can have flour, but unless you add the water, it won't be held together. So that energy that holds things together is called up. And the energy that creates sound, here we have sound, there must be ether, and although as far as movement goes, this wood doesn't appear to be moving very much, but if you got enough air, it would move. So these are general principles. In other words, this wood actually has sound, it has ether in it, it has fire, it has earth, it has water, and also it has air. Because in the course of time, it's going to change. The thing that changes things in the universe is air. Moves things around, creates the friction, that fire burns things up slowly. Therefore, everything that Krishna says in terms of earth, water, fire, air, and ether is talked about in terms of energy, that the material world is not what we perceive it is. It's actually Krishna's energy is ultimately coming from Pradhan, Avyakta, Avyakta to Pradhan, Brahma, and then transformations of Brahman, transformations of Brahman, Avyakta, Pradhan, and into the elements through the false ego. That the false ego, our false ego is responsible for our desires, our material desires, and because of our material desires, the material nature is creating or arranging the different energies of Krishna in such a way as to fill those desires according to what we deserve. So it's not disconnected, this world is not disconnected from the soul, as atheistic sciences will tell us. Even in the Vedic culture, they had their problems with the demons. Another word for an atheist or asura. Kapila, for instance, in the third canto, will give us Sankhya philosophy, how this material world is working. And there's another Kapila, an atheistic Kapila, gives some kind of philosophy about how the world is working, but there's no soul involved. There's no super soul. There's no God in control. They're known as asuras. And whatever they do, according to Krishna, etam drishtim avash... Let me go into the... three verses back. Otherwise. Pravitim cha nivritim cha jana na vidur asura nisocham na pichachara na satyam teshu vidyate. The asuras, which Krishna is going to explain, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Just like a moth and all the other insects, they see a bright light and they say, that's where we're going to go. There's enlightenment. And they all fly into the bright light, into the fire, and poof, poof, they all get burnt up. Because they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is in them. Certainly we see they're certainly not clean because they're full of lust, anger, and greed, the asuras. Their whole motivation is determined by their lust, anger, and greed because they've lost their spiritual intelligence. They can't see the soul. They can't see the super soul. They can't see how what the laws of karma is. They've lost their intelligence no matter how good they are at destruction. And what to speak of truthfulness, because they don't know what the truth is. How can someone be truthful if they're living a lie? If their whole existence is illusory. How can they know what truth is? So because they're in the Bali concept of lie, they're making mistakes, they're cheating, they're have a tendency to be an illusion, and therefore, they have imperfect senses, they are an illusion, they cheat, and they make mistakes. So one of their qualities is they're an illusion. So even if they try to be truthful, it's not going to work, because they don't know what the truth is. How can you be truthful if you don't know what the truth is? They may claim, like George Washington, supposedly the American hero, he had an axe in his hand and he chopped down a tree, a cherry tree, and his father came and said, "Who chopped down the cherry tree?" So Washington supposedly said, probably the only truthful statement ever made by an American president, he said, "I chopped down the tree." So that's, he gets his fame. He had the axe in his hand, the tree was right next to him. And he was called truthful. He didn't know that actually he wasn't the doer. That due to his sinful activities in the past, lust caused him to desire that the tree get dropped down and the illusory energy, the external energy chopped the tree down. Still, people try to be honest, but they can't be honest because they're an illusion. And most people in an illusion don't try to be honest because they have a tendency to cheat. So therefore, all these, they're not truthful, they're not clean, nor is there any proper behavior because their whole idea is the lord of the material nature. Although they claim, "I love you, I'm your servant," whatever they claim, but their whole idea is to exploit others, other living entities. And even they want to so-called do good to others, they don't know what good is. They're just helping each other exploit the material nature. Just like we may feed the poor, for instance, which is considered a great quality in material existence. So kind, feeding the poor. So you feed the poor some dead animal. So this poor person who's getting the food, the poor animal, is being fed Dridra Narayan, is being fed goat Narayan. So he's accumulating karma to go deeper into the lower species of life. And you're so kind to help him into the lower species of life. So both you and him will go together into the lower species of life because you're so kind. So they don't know what proper behavior is. And what's the problem? Asatyam apratishtam te jagarahori nishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanya kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It's produced of sex desire. Has no cause other than lust. So outside the Vedic literature, outside specifically our literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or those in pursuance of the Vaishnava philosophy, although we could say the Vedas and all its corollaries are all actually proclaiming Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you look at all the corollaries to the Vedas, Jyotirveda, Ayurveda, they all declare Bhagavan as the Supreme. So anything that doesn't acknowledge Krishna's supremacy is said to be atheistic. Not only atheistic, but at least the knowledge is going to be incomplete, which means it's going to be partly illusory or completely wrong. It's not that you can have knowledge without Krishna. Just like you can't have a tree without its root. If you add 1 + 1 and you get 3, then it's going to be wrong. And everything you do after that is wrong. If you take the universe that's coming out of nothing and try to figure out how it works, it's going to be wrong. If you don't see Krishna as the background with whatever so-called science they have, then it's going to warn out to be wrong. Such as they say the world is unreal, it has no foundation. This is the demons say that, asuras. It has no God in control. Krishna doesn't say, well, anyhow, they have so many nice things they're inventing. They have so many nice sciences. You know, so I should step aside. I shouldn't get envious and claim I make a big deal. I want to be a little humble, take myself out of the picture. Unfortunately, for the demons, Krishna is in every atom. It's very hard for him to take himself out of the picture. If he did, everything would cease to exist because it's all emanating from him and dependent on him. So Krishna makes a statement, in spite of the fact that he's humble. He says that they think the world is unreal. It has no foundation, has no God in control, is produced of sex desire, and has no cause other than lust. So Krishna doesn't say, that's all right, everyone has their opinion, you know, got to respect everyone, you know, be friends to everyone, don't agitate anyone's mind, you know. Not everyone's prepared to accept me, so maybe I should just disappear for a while. No, Krishna says, etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatvanau nabudaya pravanya karmana shaye jagatohita. Following such conclusions and loss to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So the farther they go away from Krishna, the farther they go away from the super soul, the farther they go away from Brahman, then the more demoniac they become, and the more all their activities are destructive. All their activities are destructive anyhow, because they're simply going to give people another birth. They're taking another birth, and maybe in the heavenly planets, if you follow some of the sages, maybe on this earthly planets, if you follow the present asuras, and most likely in Kali Yuga, to the darkest regions of existence. In any case, one has to take birth again and suffer the same miseries of material existence. Then one's life as a human being has been unsuccessful, at least to some extent, if not a complete failure. Therefore, every deviation from Krishna's instructions, which he's given elaborately in the Vedas, they may not be always understood properly, but they're there. The basic root is there. Any deviation simply is going to cause difficulty. And we're already in difficulty. We can't even understand the most basic instructions, like chew your food. We have a hard time even accepting that instruction. The most practical thing we can do, if we have teeth, is chew our food, but we're too much preoccupied with trying to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it, that even our opportunity to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it, we miss out on because we don't have time to do it. we're too much preoccupied with our next adventure and lording it over. We're eating the carrot and we're thinking about the glove jamun. So even the most simple, basic instructions we can't follow, but we're making big, big plans to rule over the universe. Because we don't believe if I eat this food and it's not digested, it's going to have any effect on my life. We hear some rumbling in the stomach and we think, oh, stop rumbling, take some pill and let it quiet down, you know, so I can go on with my life. Why is it bothering me? Some gas comes out the other end, oh, what a... Take another pill. Just stop the whole thing. Stop complaining. Just go on. We have big plans. Why all this little nuisance? So demoniac civilization has become so insensitive to reality that people are actually believing they're making progress and lording over the material nature, and they've lost their memory, as it says in the Bhagavatam. Every ability to control the material, so supposedly to control the material nature, tatas chanudinam, dharma, sattvam, socham, dayashama, balena kalidarajan, nakshantya yor balam smriti. Every power to supposedly control the material nature is being lost in Kali Yuga. We don't have to take another birth. We already lost the human form of life for most people. Because every day Dharma is being lost. People are actually believing whatever nonsense the mass media is putting out. Whatever lie, misconception, atheistic propaganda. Because they've been trained up since birth that there's no God. There's no laws of nature. There's no karma. There's no reincarnation. People are in complete ignorance. And they're being further manipulated and put into further and further ignorance. Every day. And therefore, Dharma is going down and down. And as people take more and more these so-called pills, medicines, as they commit more and more sinful activities, tatak-tunidanam dharma, Dharma is going down. And the result of Dharma going down, following the laws of nature, at least, Krishna's laws, tatak-tunidanam dharma, sattvam socham, dayashama, cleanliness. They're becoming more and more lusty, angry, greedy, illusion, forgetful, loss of intelligence, because they're not clean. Socham, daya. They've lost all mercy. They kill their children, they kill the animals, they want to kill each other. Shama, daya, shama. Dharmak chanudinam dharma, sattvam, socham. They're becoming less and less truthful because there are more and more illusion. Daya Shema. They've lost mercy. They've lost tolerance. They've lost their memory. They can't remember where they can't remember that when they get 3 years old, they don't know. When they're 2 years old, they don't know where they are. When they're 80 years old, they don't know where they are either. Shema. Kalena Balaya Rajan. By the strong influence of Kali Yuga, nakshantyaya balam smriti. They've lost their bali strength. They need a machine to do everything. So all these qualities that make one a human being are being lost in Kali Yuga because people are following demoniac atheistic philosophies. And they become acceptable because people have been conditioned by them. And those who have some intelligence, when they hear the real knowledge, if they want to hear it, then they can understand that there's another understanding of reality. Therefore, it says that those who have taken shelter of this Purana will get light from it. I guess that's the verse. Krishna Swadharma Upagate. Dharma jnana dvisaha kalo nashta drishamesha puranarko dunoditaha. That the Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen just like the sun and is full of knowledge. Now that Krishna has left this planet along with knowledge and religiosity, all these knowledge and religiosity is taking shelter in the Bhagavatam. That if all the books in the world had disappeared and the only thing left was Srimad Bhagavatam, still, there wouldn't be any loss. Actually, there'd probably be a gain. But that depends upon the devotees to have faith in the disciple succession. That we're not just, you know, oh yeah, we have our Krishna's God and we're trying to figure that one out. We're not this body. We're still a little doubtful about that. All these other things, Jyotiraveda, Dhanaraveda, Ayurveda, you know, who cares, you know, about these things. These are two, you know, impractical. They don't work in Kali Yuga. What works is take a pill. That works. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry how you sleep, how much sex you have, or what you have sex with. Don't worry about your mentality, aggression. Don't worry about any of this. Just take a pill and it'll be all right. And if it's not all right, just take another one. And if that doesn't work, then just cut it out or burn it. So people have become so fooled that they're actually accepting this foolish, atheistic, demoniac sciences as so-called beneficial, and they're willing to pay to kill themselves. Not only that these people, not only the modern sciences are killing them, but they're even paying for it. Even encouraging, electing officials so that they can fill the world with more glyphosate, with more chemicals, more pollution, more poor food, more atheistic propaganda, more demoniac activities, because they're blind and they're being misdirected by blind leaders, and the only hope is to reestablish the actual knowledge of Krishna consciousness in all the spheres of life. If people accept Krishna as God, then they'll have to accept, if they really accept him as God, they'll have to accept everything else he said. Not that he got, the only thing he got right in Bhagavad Gita is that he's God, and everything else was kind of like a mistake because he wasn't up to the times. He was living in a primitive society, and he was God, but he was a coward boy, so he didn't know about these things. So we have faith in Krishna, we have to have faith in his sciences that he's also provided us too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Kimanyat kama haitukam. There is no cause other than lust. I've been always puzzled by this. How is it meant? Because...
Well, they don't believe in God. They don't believe that there's a super soul directing them. They don't believe that there's laws of material nature, that the super soul is controlling everything. They think the only thing things go on is due to lust. That's what's...
So it's not meant as the original cause of everything, but the cause for actions as the world...
Yeah, of course. Krishna has already gone over the other part. He doesn't have to repeat himself. They say the world's unreal, so that it has no foundation, there's no God in control. It's produced of sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. The only reason why things keep on going on amongst the living entities is due to lust. There was no original cause. There was no foundation. There was no God. But after these chemicals combined, then the reason why they keep on combining in terms of what appears to be alive is due to lust. Anything else? I would do to Roy. No questions today?
No questions.
What's that?
No questions for Roy.
Yes. One more question. Yes.
You've mentioned sciences. Subtle body is at no point independent of the super soul, probably according to Vedic version.
Probably, I can assure you, according to the Vedic version, nothing is independent of Krishna.
Yeah. In a way, how to deal with, for example, with things appearing in subtle body, if they are not independent of the super soul, practically, because super soul is God himself, we don't know him, we don't know exactly what he desires, so it makes things a bit more complicated to deal with.
Well, you could find out if you wanted to find out what he desires. Therefore, he's provided Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and he's there in your heart. If you speak to him, he might tell you. You may try and make some effort and qualify yourself so you can hear what he's saying, if you really want to find out what he has to say.
But that fact in itself makes modern psychology completely failed, useless.
That's right, it's completely failed, useless, demoniac, atheistic. It's just a waste of time. They themselves are crazy. So anyone who follows them will become as crazy as they are. They may have some truth along the way. Like, for instance, you know, someone like, I studied psychology in school. I studied it before I was in school. But, you know, you have someone like Sigmund Freud. Probably said he partly was right. He said that...
Yes, this verse.
Yeah, there, because, you know, the Vedic knowledge is all pervasive. So it's not that people are completely wrong. But it's because he doesn't acknowledge the supersoul, therefore it's a waste of time. Because he doesn't acknowledge the soul and the supersoul. He doesn't acknowledge the means of controlling your desires, properly channeling them in devotional service. Therefore, whatever he's saying is just a waste of time.
But there is usual way in devotee association or saying that mental platform or subtle body is material, so it needs material fixing, like a car. Usual people saying that, but that's completely wrong.
Then. But needs material fixing by someone who can actually fix it. You have to know what the actual remedy is, what the cause is. The cause is, as Krishna says, hankering, lamentation. Very simple. We're hankering for what we don't have, and we're lamenting over what we've lost. That's the whole material problem. And therefore our relationships get disturbed with others, because we look at everyone as what they can give me, or what they may take away from me. But it's all based upon an illusory conception, because we have nothing to gain here, nor can we lose anything, because everything belongs to Krishna. It's just a conception we have that we're gaining or losing. We always remain the same. So without understanding the soul and the relationship to the super soul and their soul's relationship and the super soul's relationship to the material nature, then we'll just keep on hankering and lamenting because we're in ignorance. And therefore there won't be any solution to any problem. Any permanent solution, at least.
So, three questions by Adhuta Rai Prabhu. The Rig Veda 10.124.8.
Rig Veda 10.124.128. I forgot that one.
And Atharva Veda 3.36.
Atharva Veda 3.36. Do you remember that one? Adi Purusha.
Speaks about Visha or people choosing their king. This means a kind of democracy. But democracy, as per Srila Prabhupada, is demon crazy. Any comments on these references?
I don't know, because I don't know what they're referring to. People didn't choose their king in the Vedic culture. The king was trained by the proper personalities, especially the rishis. So they knew how to become a king. They just then got chosen. I don't know in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vedic culture at least, where any king got chosen, elected. That's in Kali Yuga. As I don't know who he's referring to. So our authority is Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavad Gita, etc. So unless you can give me some example in those scriptures, then I don't know, you know, which are Atharva Veda or Rig Veda or whatever, what they're referring to.
Second question. Srila Prabhupada writes, if the government cannot rule according to Manu Samhita, they will not endure. I have doubt any Western politicians will ever be interested in Manu Samhita. Moreover, Dr. Surendra Kumar analyzed Manu Samhita and concluded there are a lot of interpolations in the text. What do you think?
Well, Manu Samhita, the actual Manu Samhita, is based upon Bhagavad Gita. So it's not that Manu Samhita is necessarily every detail at the present moment can be applied, because we're not capable to take an animal to try to make him into a Brahmin is going to be a little, takes a little time. What to speak of a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, most people are not qualified even as Shudras. So what to speak of, you know, Vaishyas or Kshatriya or Brahmana. So obviously when you're dealing with the present situation, you have to get people to chant the holy names and other processes, so eventually they can actually come to the platform of becoming civilized, and then maybe you can apply some of the rules of Manu Samhita. In any case, Prabhupada's not saying here that we have to immediately implement Manu Samhita. What he's saying is that unless you understand to some extent the rules of Manu Samhita, then your kingdom is not going to last, whatever you may be, a dictator, a democracy, whatever it's going to be. Unless you understand the principles of how things work, you're going to disappear and your kingdom is going to disappear along with it. Now, there are principles in Manu Samhita which are also, they all derive from Bhagavad Gita. So things like the government is supposed to control lust, anger, and greed. That's the job of the government. That's why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, control material lust, anger, and greed, so we can end illusion, forgetfulness, and loss of intelligence. So the government has to do that. If they can't even do that, they don't even understand that's their duty. If they think that their duty is to propagate lust, anger, and greed, to take payments from the people who are selling things, advertising, indoctrinating, control people so that they become more involved in lust, anger, and greed, then the government is not a proper government. It's going to fail. It's not doing its duty. And the people who are directing it, using their intelligence to create the technology that enables the government to control people, is also going to be a failure. Either they'll kill everyone, there won't be anyone left to lord it over, and then they'll wind up killing each other. Or they'll be exposed, something will happen, and the technology is going to fail. There won't be anyone to run it. There won't be any intelligent people left for the technology. They'll be killing each other with sticks instead of with machine guns. So, without following Krishna's advice, then one's lust, anger, and greed will take over, put one more and more into illusion, one will become more and more forgetful, one will lose one's spiritual intelligence and eventually his material intelligence, and we'll be at the end of Kali Yuga, where we'll have little pygmies running around trying to eat each other. Anything else?
Yes, there's one more question. A bit off-topic question, but is there an Ayurvedic or any other method of self-test for early discovery of some health problem?
Yeah, look at your tongue. See what's on your tongue. If your tongue is clean, if it's red, it's pink or red, or then it's a good indication that you're digesting your food. And if it's all kind of like a rainbow, you can't even see your tongue, it's so much covered over, you might want to fast for a day or two. So you can finally see your tongue. That means you're probably digesting your food. So that which you can digest is called food. That which you can't digest is called poison. And that which helps you digest things is called medicine. So one of the best medicines is fast for a day sometimes. So you can start digesting what you couldn't digest before, what you hadn't digested. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.